This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 395. This episode was pre-recorded. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Let's all take our seats. It's Crisis 106, Those Darn Nazis. This is How I Get My Wife to Read Comics. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. We are taping this in advance, and we will continue to cover the annual JLA-JSA team-ups. Now, in our last class, the Robins of Two Worlds meet and trade costumes, and we meet the Seven Soldiers of Victory in an historic three-parter. So let's go back to class. Crisis on Earth X, Justice League of America 107. 1973 by Ween, Dillon, Giordano, and Oda. The big three-part anniversary issue showed DC the power of resurrecting old characters. Now, DC spent the 50s and 60s buying up old publishers as they went out of business, especially post-Batman TV series. A lot of them came back, tried to do kind of us two superhero titles. They went out of business fairly quickly. So they had a huge number of available heroes, and the JLA-JSA team-ups was a great way to reintroduce them. DC bought Quality Comics line in the late 50s, which meant they owned some World War II-era characters, which of course makes the Nazis a natural enemy. We begin on Earth 2 and the JSA Sanctuary. Dr. Fate explains how a transmatter device works, kind of looks like a soundproof booth. It can alter the vibrational speed of people in it and move them between the worlds. Not sure why Fate is talking all science-y. Is this some sort of mystical box?
Well, maybe there's a mystical component. My thought was, you know, how are they going to coordinate it so they're both doing it at the same time? And maybe it's because Fate is the one that can, like, transfer messages across the boundaries.
I guess.
To coordinate pushing the buttons at the exact same time.
You would think so. Meanwhile, on the JLA satellite, 22,300 miles above Earth 1, Red Tornado wants to be the guinea pig because he's actually from Earth 2. He wants to go back. But Green Lantern explains he can't because he's not human. Huh?
Yeah, that's what I couldn't understand. They said, oh, they tested it on inanimate objects and animals and humans.
But you're
not
human.
But not on androids. That made no sense whatsoever. It's like you should test it on him.
If anything, yeah, it makes more sense. Batman, Green Arrow, and Elongated Man take the plunge, while the Superman of Earth 2, Dr. Fate, and Sandman do the same on Earth 2. They vanish, but don't end up on the other Earth. The culprit is, of course, Red Tornado, wah, wah, wah. He stowed away to go along, which screwed everything up because it was out of balance. Our heroes see a set of tanks advancing on them, adorned with swastikas, because we're on Earth X.
Now, see, I thought they were suddenly transported into the world of the man with the high castle, you know?
Yeah, well, essentially, they were. Those ratsies attack, and Superman of Earth 2 and Fate start to take them out, but Fate's magic misfires and knocks out Superman. And the Cerebro gun takes out the rest. Suddenly, a new group of heroes swing in, the Freedom Fighters, consisting of Uncle Sam, the living spirit of our country, Phantom Lady, who has a black beam ray and a skimpy outfit.
Because everybody has to have a skimpy outfit.
Black Condor, flying guy, also with said skimpy outfit. The Human Bomb, who can create explosions with his hands. The Ray, this cosmic-powered hero. And Doll Man, who can shrink to 6 inches, essentially the Atom.
Now, was this then the first appearance in DC Comics of these characters?
Yes.
Okay.
The tanks are quickly dispatched, and the group is on the run. They meet in the secret headquarters, and Uncle Sam explains how World War II went on into the late 60s when Germany won with a mind control ray. We then get a splash page explaining who the freedom fighters are. Oh, and a metal block prevents them from seeing where those mind control projectors are. Easily resolved by Dr. Fate, he can mystically find them. There's multiple locations, so it's time to split up. Red Tornado is left behind and isn't happy about it, but why would you bring him? Because he always screws things up. Batman, Dr. Fate, the Ray, and the Human Bomb find themselves in Paris. Ray flies up to the top of the Eiffel Tower. Stormtroopers attack. The rest come up to help. Human Bomb blows up the door, and they enter a cavern that's much larger on the inside, a.k.a. a TARDIS.
Yes.
A computer inside whips up some monsters designed to stop each of them, which they do. Of course, the easy thing to do is change partners to stop the monsters because they're only designed to stop this one hero and not the others.
How come we can see that so far ahead of time and
this
they can't?
The supercomputer can't.
Well, or the heroes themselves can't. They haven't figured out yet, hey, we shouldn't fight the one that's sent against us. So it happens every time.
So the computer then immobilizes the heroes. Why didn't it do that in the first place? The heroes then take out the computer by reflex action. Never really explained, but it doesn't take out the mind control ray. Back on Earth 1 and Earth 2, the remaining heroes consider the option that the ones sent through the transmitter device are dead. Moving on to 13 Against the Earth, Justice League of America number 108, 1973, by Ween, Dillon, Giordano, and Oda. We get a quick splash page of exposition, and then on to Superman of Earth 2, Green Arrow, Doll Man, and Phantom Lady in Japan, specifically Mount Fujiyama. Now on Earth X, Germany turned on Japan at the end, so Japan is also under the sway of the Third Reich. Our heroes are led up the mountain by a native guide, and Superman didn't fly them up there because
they didn't want to be seen going up. They wanted to blend in.
But they immediately stop blending in once they get there.
And they take off their coats, yeah.
Once they reach the top, they immediately attack the Nazis. The ray is inside the volcano's inactive crater. Supes takes out the outside wall. There's another computer inside, this time warning them it will cause an earthquake and take out Japan. Supes is dubious and attacks anyway, and the earth rumbles under their feet, forcing him to go fix what he caused, and leaving the others to stop the computer. Arrow distracts it with exploding arrows. Doll Man sneaks into the computer and breaks it, also while reversing the earthquake effect.
And Doll Man's a pretty good guy to have around.
Yeah, and Phantom Lady protects Arrow. But still no change to the mind control ray. On to Sandman, Elongated Man, Black Condor, and Uncle Sam, who find themselves at Mount Rushmore, where Hitler was added to the faces. More Nazis are taken out, another computer, another attack, this time flame and electricity is involved. The heroes attack but do no damage because it's a mirage. The actual computer is in Hitler's head. There's one attack and explosion later, and the mind control ray is still functioning. They return to the Freedom Fighters' headquarters and try to figure out the next steps. JLA and JSA heroes start to suspect the Freedom Fighters, and the fight begins per comic book rules.
Well, it was a little bit delayed this time. Yeah. You know? Theoretically, they should have been fighting an issue a half ago. Yeah.
Red Tornado is unaffected and can sense the source of the mind control ray. You couldn't mention this earlier?
Well, perhaps because the other three were interfering with his sense of where the fourth computer was. And once the three were destroyed, he could sense the fourth one.
So he flies up to a Nazi satellite and runs into Hitler? Der Fuhrer tries to swing Red Tornado to his cause and gets a smack in the face for his troubles. Of course, Hitler is a robot. We learn the computers are actually in charge. Wasn't that a Star Trek episode? Red Tornado fights some android Nazis, and his whirling has destabilized the satellite's orbit. It crashes into the sea.
I liked that. I thought that was pretty good.
He grabs the mind control device, which conveniently can also transmit to Earth 1 and Earth 2, allowing our heroes to return to their respective Earths. This seems like it ended very quickly. I'm wondering if Lin Wein was expecting a third issue and didn't get it.
Yeah.
The Freedom Fighters, of course, would go on to their own title in 1976. During Crisis on Infinite Earths, Earth X was merged with Earths 1, 2, 4, and S. They appeared in the 80s Roy Thomas's All-Star Squadron title. Ray and Black Condor both got their own individual series in the 90s. Uncle Sam got a Vertigo series as well. A 2001 version was taken out in Infinite Crisis. There were two miniseries and an ongoing in the 2000s from Palmiotti and Gray. The last one was just in time for the New 52 reboot to take it out.
You know, reading this made me miss that series of the Ray when he was the teenage Ray. Ray that was in a young adult. You know, and they introduced him and he was like all Spider-Man-y angst. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
I liked that Ray.
Yep.
I miss him. I want him to come back.
Well, let's move on to The Creature in the Velvet Cage, Justice League of America, number 113, 1974, by Wein, Dillon, Giordano, and Oda. This is the first of the JLA 100-page Super Spectaculars.
Which you always liked, right?
Yes, this was the descendant of the 80-page specials of the 60s. Many titles got this treatment because you got 100 pages for what was originally 50 and then later 60 cents. This issue also included a classic JSA reprint, The Case of the Patriotic Crimes, a classic JLA reprint, The Cave of Deadly Spheres, and other features. And I bought this issue when it was first published. On to this single issue story, so it's not a multi-part JSA-JLA crossover. We begin on Earth 2 and the end of a battle with the Horned Owl Gang. Don't worry, we won't see them again. I'm wondering, though, could this be the Earth 2 version of Court of Owls? Well, in any case, the lineup from Earth 1, Superman, Green Lantern, and Elongated Man. And Elongated Man became a very popular character because he was kind of like the wisecracking, almost comic relief of the JLA.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Earth 2 lineup, Flash, Hourman, Sandman, and the Earth 2 Wonder Woman. They wrap up the gang, they trade bon mots, and then Sandman hears a buzzer go off in his car. Is this the sand car?
Yes, yes.
And he says, no, after all these years, it couldn't have happened. It couldn't. He roars off by himself and the others follow to Sandman Wesley Dodd's townhouse and his headquarters beneath.
The sand cave?
The sand cave, presumably. To find Wesley next to a shattered glass chamber. Wesley tells them his partner Sandy escaped. And they all thought Sandy Hawkins had left the superhero biz a long time ago.
This really is kind of creepy, thinking that he kept this kid locked up in the basement.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, you don't even know anything else so far, and you're thinking, huh.
Yeah.
Wesley, that's pretty weird, keeping him locked up in the basement.
Your sidekick, yeah. We get a flashback with Sandman and Sandy in their 50s more conventional superhero costumes. Wesley is working on a silicoid gun that will, quote, double their crime-fighting effectiveness. How this would happen is never explained. There's an explosion. Sandy is caught in the blast and becomes a silicon monster who begins to threaten the world. The creature then collapses. Wesley creates a gas-filled chamber to keep him unconscious and then destroys his costume, returning to his 40s-era gas mask, fedora, suit, and cape. So this has been years ago where this monster is under his headquarters just sleeping. The team offers to help Sandy, so they, say it together,
split into teams.
We cut to a park and a wedding and a bit of wacky dialogue. Sandy cuts in at the let him speak now or bit.
Of course.
Superman, Elongated Man, and Hourman are in the case. Sandy whips up some stone hands from the ground. Our heroes are on the ropes when he's distracted by the wedding party throwing cake at him. Elongated Man says, I'm not sure, but I think we've just been rescued by the Keystone Cops. Our heroes knock down Sandy, but he dissolves into the ground. The mother of the bride suggests Superman as a groom instead. Mother, I happen to love her. What's his name? Wah, wah. Sandy then interrupts a Little League game. Batman, Wonder Woman, and Flash are on the scene. Diana's lasso goes right through him. Batman tries a judo hold. No luck. Flash whips up a vortex. and thinks Sandy might be trying to talk, but Sandy breaks up and causes a sandstorm and then escapes. Sandy then drops by the beach, and there's the He-Men there that try to take him out with no luck. Green Lantern and Sandman arrive. GL's beam is broken up like a prism, and Sandy sends some of the energy back at him, KOing him. Sandman shoots his gas gun, but it's no good because it's out in the...
It disperses.
Sandy seems to be to stop attacking his old partner when our man swoops in and knocks him out. Suddenly, there's an earthquake out of nowhere. GL jams a fissure together with a ring-based clamp. And then Superman uses Wonder Woman's lasso to sew it up out at sea. It's a comic book. You should really just relax.
Well, no, really. Okay, this is what happens. He uses the lasso to hold it together, and then he uses like his one of his vision things or something to like solder it back together because Wonder Woman gets her lasso back, so
yeah,
it's not holding it.
Right.
So, you know, he had to do something to hold it while he was fixing it.
But
okay.
How tectonic plates can be held. The magic lasso could definitely do the job. It's indestructible. But dirt is not indestructible.
It's a comic book.
The heroes return to Sandy, who wakes up and starts talking. He realized that the earthquake was coming, and he somehow could absorb the ground vibrations. But he couldn't tell them what he was doing as his vocal cords were paralyzed by the gas. Sandman and Sandy have a heart-to-heart. He regained his senses within hours of the accident, but because of the gas, could never tell Wesley. So he's been in this haze for years in this glass cage.
So really, Wesley was keeping him, like, penned up for his own purposes.
Pretty much. Wesley is ashamed, understandably so, and tortured by what he has done.
And should not be comforted, as Wonder Woman attempts to do.
Because Batman stops her and says, "How do you restore a man's pride, his confidence? How do you restore a man's soul?" Fade out.
And really, he shouldn't be. He should be arrested and put in prison for kidnapping.
All right, that's all for this week. Next time in our next class, Kerry Bates, supervillain. Sorry, no who's on the cover this week because we are taping in advance. Remember, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn. Finally, you can call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.